Well, good morning. It is a privilege to be here. Before I get started, I just want to give a shout out to my wife's parents who are here to hear me preach or crash and burn. I'm not sure which. So that's Ed and Shelley Drabick. That'll be the one sitting back there beside my wife. So if you see them, welcome them and say hi to them. Yeah, that's been at least eight plus years since I last preached. And so I'm hoping it's like a little bit like riding a bike. A little wobbly at times, but no major crashes. Back in June, early summer, late spring, or whatever, and I was here and just listening to a lot of the news and wondering, you know, what's going on and what can we do to make a difference and different arguments and just sensing this tension. And I was just praying and meditating as I was driving back and forth to work. And it just, God laid this answer in my heart about sacrifice. And I just couldn't shake it. And so I began a journey unpacking this idea of sacrifice. And what could it look like in our lives? And so come along on this journey, and in the end, you may not agree with me, and that's okay, and we can have a conversation about it, or take it in between you and God, wrestle with it. So if you have your Bibles, turn into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And or you can follow along too and on the screen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What does it mean to sacrifice? There we go. Sacrifice is an act of offering something precious. We sacrifice for our families. We sacrifice for our spouses. We sacrifice our time and our resources for friends, and we definitely sacrifice our time for work. But maybe sacrifice conjures up negative feelings. You know, maybe you feel like you had to sacrifice, but it was giving up something against your will. Like when one spouse abuses another spouse. And I don't know if you followed much this past summer of the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial. Of a lot of just crazy stuff going on there. But it's when one spouse just abuses and you feel like the other spouse has to do all this sacrificing. Maybe it's when a parent sacrifices their children for their own control, living out their childhood through their children. And they're putting sacrifices onto their children that shouldn't be there. Or maybe at work, when you're asked to do the dirty jobs, you pull your weight while others are lazy, you cut corners. Maybe you see sacrifices like a form of weakness. Maybe you're sacrificing for a God who seems so far away and you wonder if he even cares. Well, that's why I entitled this. I thought I had a different slide in there. Maybe that's why I entitled this. That's why I entitled my sermon, "The Sacrifice Got Off the Altar." Because it's a living, breathing, moving human being making this decision to sacrifice of his own free will. Because I'm sorry, once you're dead, you ain't making a decision. I'm sorry, they can put you in a clown suit. You're not crawling out of a coffin to go change clothes. It just ain't happening. It's living. It's breathing. It's easy to talk about sacrifice with someone you love. your friend, family or your friends or your a like-minded group, even those you agree with. But what about those you don't agree with? Those you don't see eye to eye with? Another block on this foundation that we're building is that in verse 2 it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. So we look at what are the patterns of this world. Well, I come up with five. Five patterns of this world that as I look around me, this is what some of the things that I see happening. One of the things is they don't deserve it. They don't deserve being sacrificed. They don't deserve a helping hand. They don't deserve it. That people walk around, you know, I'm not going to help them because they don't deserve it. A second pattern is I'll do it if they do it first. I'll sacrifice if they sacrifice first. I'll give if they give first. I'll go the extra mile if they go the extra mile first. We're always waiting for the other person to do it first before we do anything. The third one is defeatist. It's too hard. I can't do it. Let somebody else do it. We just give up. It's so easy to give up. The government will take care of it. Or I'll rely on the government. The fourth one is fear. And if you don't believe me that fear isn't a pattern in this world, just watch the news. Fear sells. And you're saying, well, but I don't deal with that fear. But do you deal with FOMO? The fear of missing out. The fear that, oh, we got to have a good job so that way we can get our kids into a good nursery, so they can get into a good school, so that way they can get on the right team, to get in the right coach, to get the right college, to play for the right team, to get into the majors, to fear of missing out so that we can have a good retirement and go live on the beach and drink mimosas or something. The fear that we're missing out, that if we don't just keep pushing and pushing and striving, that we're going to miss out on something. And my last one and my most favorite pattern of this world is, it's my right. It's my right to do this or that. It's my right to live this way or that way. It's my right. Matthew 5:38-42, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and this is the part of where he talked about your enemies, so those that you would disagree with and those that you don't see eye to eye on. It says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, then go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. The part that I want to look at here is that 1 mile, 2 mile part. You know, we just came through a pandemic, or we're still in one, or I'm not sure where we're at in this, and I'm not here to argue the ins and outs of all that. But what I want to think about is our response to it. And how many of you saw mask wearing as a form of sacrifice? I know I didn't. I thought it was stupid, crazy, worthless. And I can't help but wonder, was mask wearing our second mile to walk? We made masks that our first mile. Ladies got together and they made masks. That was our first mile. But was wearing them and allowing others to wear them, was that our second mile? I don't bring that up as, I only bring that up as an illustration, example of what sacrifice could look like in this cultural environment of walking that second mile. Some of you know, and some of you will know. About a year ago, I got a part-time job working in at Lowe's. I work in there about two or three nights in the evening from 4 to 10, or 4 to closing, because it changes when the time changes. And I work in the fulfillment department. Now, fulfillment department is that if you are on the Lowe's website and you order something, it comes to our phones and we pull it, and so we stage it. And we pull anything and everything that is on the website and that we have in the store. So everything from lawn and garden to lumber to appliances to tape and glue and whatever else. Well, this one particular night, I had pulling my order, and I got done at about 5 after 10. And I looked at my phone, and I saw that I had another order to pull. So I called the manager on duty. I says, "What do you want me to do? Do you want me to pull it? It's after 10 o'clock. What shift's about to end?" He says, "No, you better go ahead and pull it so that way they have a clear slate in the morning." I says, "Okay." And it was for appliances. Now, the thing about deliveries is that you always have a few days. It's very seldom the next day delivery. You always have a few days. So if it needed to wait, it could have. But I went the first mile in asking my boss whether to pull it or not. So I went and started pulling this. At 10:45, I finally got done. So 45 minutes after, I walks up to the front, and the manager on duty had already left. So it was basically me and some of the night crew. And the lights were been dimmed. And so I had gone the second mile. And it hurt because the manager on duty had left. He didn't even wait until I was done. So I had to go find somebody to let me out of the store so that way they could lock it behind me. But that's going the second mile. So why do it? Why go through with sacrificing? It's not for the glory of others, though that may feel good. And it's not for the praise from others, though that feels good too. It's not even for making you feel good about yourself, though that feels good too. No, there really is only one reason to sacrifice. And that's for the glory of God. There's only one reason to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. For the glory of God. There is no other reason. You adorn it because what God has done for you. My wife is an amazing person. She is smart. She's comical. She's funny. She's animated. She's a really great storyteller. I love my wife. But I'm sorry. I'm a sinful and fallen man, and there are times I don't want to sacrifice for my wife. Amen, husbands? There's always a joker in every crowd. We serve the greatest God in all the universe. We have the greatest Savior and friend in His Son, Jesus Christ. But I'm sorry. I don't always want to sacrifice for Him. Sacrificing is hard. It requires something. Something we are not ready to give. I'm not specific because it's different for each person. Each of you knows what that thing is. Whether it's an idea, an attitude, a grudge, or whatever. It is in the sacrificing that Christ did that we find our strength to continue. In Hebrews 12, verses 2 through 3, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." That's Romans. This is the one I want. fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before me endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He understood true sacrifice at the hands of men. And we look to him so that we don't lose heart. Another passage of scriptures. And I'll start at 12. This is from Philippians 2, 12b to 15. It says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. It says, continue to work out our salvation. God is at work in us. And when we do the tough stuff, when we work at it and continue to work at it, we can shine like stars in the sky. And I love that picture because I love looking at the stars. I love going out at night and just looking up at the stars because they are beautiful. And isn't that an amazing picture that Paul writes here, in a warped and crooked generation, we can shine like stars. It is in following Jesus as the perfecter. It is working out our faith with fear and trembling. It is in the pain of sacrifice that we learn what God's will is. You will not be swayed by the world, but understand and respond to it with grace and wisdom. And in working out our salvation, then God can move us from being selfish, self-centered human beings to solid, grounded, mature disciples of Christ. I'd like to close by reading the same passage, but from the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlock the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for the scripture and the reading of your word. We thank you that you have called us here on this earth, and one of the ways you have called us to is in sacrifice and to living as living sacrifices, offering ourselves before you. And so as we go throughout this week, we ask that you give us the courage to be able to do that, strengthen us where we are weak, and be able to continue living as sacrifices so that we can shine like stars in this generation. So we can shine like stars in our workplaces and in our neighborhoods. And as school starts this week, may the teachers and the students that are working there be able to shine because they are offering themselves before you. Strengthen their feet. Strengthen their minds and strengthen their hands to do your work this week. It's all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I think there is a song. Yep.
Please stand, turn to number 12, your midnight hymnal.
Just a reminder, it's no church next Sunday. No church here next Sunday at Bar Jonah Center. So don't come here, you won't find anybody. No church.